Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is Ordinary People, Extraordinary Lives. My name is Lance Bain, and this is episode number 46. It's so good to be back with you today on this podcast designed to help us experience the grace of God while leading and overcoming the everyday challenges of life. Hey, we've got a great podcast for you today, and I just want to let you know before we jump in how grateful I am for your patience. My wife and I have been on a 3.5 week vacation, so we did a couple of weeks there without a new podcast episode, but we're back today, and I am really excited about being with you. Hey, listen, you're going to want to get the show notes today. I've got some long lists, but we're going to fly through them. And today's podcast is going to be really helpful. I'm super excited about it. And you can catch the notes, the show notes at lancebain.com. And you can also catch the show notes in the description, podcast description, if you're listening on some sort of smart device. So it's great to be back. Loved vacation. Got to spend wonderful time with my family. My wife and I became grandparents about 3 months ago. My son and his wife gave birth to twin granddaughters, so we got to meet them for the first time and see our daughter and other family members. So it was an awesome time with family and friends, but we're glad to be back. And today we're going to be talking about home space. How do we do healthy ministry in our home? And this came out really from a conversation with our pastoral team this week when we were talking about sort of recasting vision for our small group ministry. And we talked about the why, the what, the how of small group ministry. But one of the interesting things that emerged out of that conversation was the where. And here's a simple fact that we need to acknowledge. While the work of God, ministry, compassion, justice, and love is often done at a spiritual level, at an emotional level, it happens in physical spaces. You meet in homes, you meet in rooms, you meet in living rooms and in coffee shops and restaurants and walks in parks and sitting at the beach and going on drives together. It happens in physical spaces. The work of God happens in physical spaces. And in Acts chapter 2, there's this wonderful passage where the author of that book, Luke, is recounting what is happening in the early days of the church. And in chapter 2, verse number 46, Luke says this, that daily the church met together in temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. So there was a public space at which they practiced their faith, and then there was personal space in which they practiced their faith. And part of practicing that faith looked like celebrating communion. And it goes on to say they shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming. And so they met in homes and they met in temple courts. And that's why I want to talk with you today about home space. How do we do healthy ministry in our home? What should we be thinking about when we do that? And so there's ministry. When you read the book of Acts, there's a powerful and beautiful ministry, changing of people's lives in street corners and in prison cells and in homes, and families just being saved. I think about Cornelius's family in Acts 10. I think about Paul encountering Jesus while he was traveling from one place to another. Man, what would happen if people drove through our city onto our interstate and encountered the power of God like Paul did? And so lives were being changed by the story of forgiveness, by Jesus Christ's love, his freedom, his hope, and people's lives were moving forward. And so that's what we're talking about today. It is this old proverb, home is where the heart is. So how do we create home wherever we are? How do we be hospitable leaders and create environments conducive to honesty, to support, to growth, to health, empathy, and joy? And so one of the things that you need to remember as we talk about doing healthy ministry in our home spaces is that first, God is with us in a very personal way. And Jesus said that, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Ephesians 2 talks about how we become the dwelling place of God. So there is a very personal nature to our relationship with God, but it is never an isolated nature. It may be a relationship with God that has a sacred space and alone space, but never lonely space. And then there's also a communal aspect. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I will be in your midst and in your presence." So when we meet in our homes, we are talking about encountering the presence of God ourselves and with others. I love what Terry Smith wrote in his book, The Hospitable Leader, which I would encourage all of you to get and read. It's an absolute must-read for leaders. But he says on page 19 in that book, "As a hospitable leader, we can create the conditions for good and greater things to happen by being hospitable." So is hospitality simply a gift complemented by Home Goods, Hobby Lobby, IKEA, or the Pottery Barn? No, it's more than that. It's more than having the right decor, appetizers, candles, seating, and lighting. It is a way of viewing life. And this is what Jesus talks about. And so this is what we're going to be talking about. And I want to share with you three spaces about how to do healthy ministry in your home. You know, when we visited my son and daughter-in-law, we don't refer to her as a daughter by law. We love our daughter-in-law, daughter-in-love. Anyway, when we were at their home, I was stunned by the amount of things that they had. I knew that having twins would be somewhat overwhelming, but there was just two of everything. Everywhere. I mean, those two little girls have taken over a 3,000 square foot home. Those two little girls have taken over that space. And I loved it. My son and daughter, Brittany, daughter-in-law, their daughter-in-law, they're doing just a phenomenal job. But one of the things I noticed is that they had to completely rearrange their space to be prepared for these two little girls. And then it made me think about raising our own children. We have three kids. How our home looked like baby space. There were diapers everywhere, boxes of wipes and baby jars and toys. And I don't know how many times when they moved into those elementary years, I stepped on Legos. I think I manifested a devil when that happened. It's just stepping on Legos and stepping on toys. But, you know, our space reflects the season that we're in. And quickly, you know, through the baby years into toddler years, we changed from cribs to toddler beds, and we moved from toddler beds to twin beds, and the toys changed, and the clothes got bigger, and suddenly you couldn't fit all of your baby's onesies in one drawer. You could only fit, you know, a few shirts and shorts in one drawer because the clothes are getting bigger. My point is, when you are engaging home space, you need to recognize what season you're in and how do you be purposeful about that. And then, you know, you just continue to know that God's going to fill that space with His grace. Home space filled with God's grace flows out of who we are. And the internal world is often reflected in these external spaces, attitudes, behaviors, and lifestyles. So we need to be conscious of space number one, physical space. And here's just a list of things that you ought to be thinking about when you think about your physical space. Number one, is it clean? Now, when I grew up, my mom was a clean freak. She would clean behind the mirrors and behind the TV. She was even getting to the back of the pantries. I mean, she would get in those places that no one would ever look. And that's the kind of home I grew up in. And when I got married, now been married 27 years to my awesome wife, I brought into that marriage this expectation that my wife would keep house the same way my mother kept house. And what I was doing is I was basically expecting my wife to be my mother, which is very unhealthy and very dangerous. And thank God we grew out of that pretty quickly. But you cannot have a dirty home, but you also can't expect to keep your home in a way that maybe your parents kept it. For good or bad, however your parents kept a home, you've got to figure out through your personality, through how you find peace, how are you going to keep a home clean. And so the pressure to do it for my marriage, the pressure to keep home the way my mom kept it, replaced the pressure of simply keeping an organized home and not letting it be chaotic. And so you need a clean space, an organized space. And think about, you want new environments maybe in your physical space. When you're gathering together to do ministry, you're welcoming people into your home. You might consider going to a park, a beach, maybe just moving to a backyard or another person's home, doing something recreational, being outside, activity, or a museum. Also, think about your physical spaces being distraction-free and comfortable. That would be really important. Also, think about the warmth of your home, the temperature of your home. Is it a welcoming home, both in natural temperature, but also in environment? And then how can others contribute to that? And we'll talk about that again towards the end when we talk about the challenges of ministering in our homes. And also, you want to make sure that your home supports relationship building. How is your seating arranged? Is it free for easier dialogue? Is it conducive to ministry to one another? So seating becomes important. Food choices, if you're having meal, becomes important, particularly in today's gluten-free, keto-friendly, vegan this. You want to be sensitive and host well the nutritional food options that some may have when they're coming to your home. You also want to think about contribution from everybody, so no one person is bearing the entire burden of a particular aspect, such as food or music or some other aspect of what your gathering is going to be about, games or conversation starters. And cleanliness, we've talked about that. Lighting is very important. You don't want it to be too dark so that people can't see one another. You want to be able to make eye contact and have good body language. Also, just free from distractions. Sometimes pets can be a distraction. Candle scents can be a distraction. People might be allergic to that. Music, if it's too loud, might be a distraction. The TV, if it's on, might be a distraction if it's unnecessary. So just think about distractions and the environment that you're creating. You want a home filled with peace. And you also just, if you do have a pet, want to think about pet allergies. Pet hair, pet odor, pet food, where does the pet use the bathroom, different things like that. And then particularly the often can be overlooked bathroom space. Make sure that that is clean and orderly and not uncomfortable, particularly if you have men over, that you don't have a lot of feminine products laid out. Just things like that you want to be careful of. And if you can be mindful of the physical space, you'll have great space to minister to people. Hey, that space number one is the physical space. How about the emotional space as space number two? Now, the emotional space is going to be influenced primarily by two things. First, you. This is your home we're talking about that you've invited people into. And you are the king or the queen of that domain. And your lifestyle has a profound effect on the emotional and spiritual space, which is number three we'll talk about in a moment. It has a profound effect on the emotional space of your home. If you and your husband or your wife or your roommates have been arguing, or family members have been arguing all week over some things, it's difficult to believe that on Saturday afternoon, when you do a quick tidy up and have friends over, that they're not going to be affected by the reality of what has been happening in your home all week. If all you have playing on the television is political news or ESPN Top 10 highlights or other type shows, horror movies, it's hard to believe that your home environment, the emotional reality of your space, is not going to be affected by those realities. Jesus teaches us to be careful of the eye gate, the ear gate, if you will, these things that we choose to listen to and to watch, the mouth gate, the kind of words that we choose to say, how you live in between the space and opportunities of ministry in your home have a deep and profound influence on the emotional space of your home. And so be mindful of that. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, about the cost of inviting people and having people in your home. Now, we see in Acts chapter 2 that many people's lives are being changed because they met in the temple courts and they met in people's homes. They did not break meals together in the temple court. They did not necessarily say they shared the communion in the temple court. It says they did it in their people's homes. There's a wonderful and set apartness, if you will, if I could use that phrase, a set apartness to how we're going to practice our faith and experience God together in our homes that is unique and distinct from how we will experience God together in what we would call modern day church, going to a building and celebrating church together. So how you manage your home emotionally is a big, big deal for what people are going to experience when they come into your space and do ministry. So think about joy and think about safety. How are you going to set it up where failure is not fatal? So that heart attitude, which really shows up in your words and your tone and your follow through, matters. What will empathy look like? What will hope look like? What will nurturing look like in a proper emotional space? And here's a couple of tidbits. Number one, when you're thinking about your emotional space, when you're hosting people, you're partnering with others and leading a small group, leading some sort of ministry in your home, a coffee shop, your home, your office space, a ministry space, whatever it may be, your cubicle, whatever it may be, when you're having those kinds of conversation and intentionality, recognize if you have a chance, take a small break. Give yourself a short 1, 2, 3 minute emotional break. If things are going well, people are helping themselves to food, to drinks. You're getting ready to move into another aspect of your small group space, such as ministry, worship, maybe talking about the 5 questions that we use in our small group model, maybe some sort of Bible lesson or something like that. Give yourself a 2 to 3 minute break, a quick bathroom break, a quick bedroom break, just to regroup, take a breath, refresh yourself emotionally. And the other thing is, don't be intimidated by other people's homes and disqualify yourself from being a great hospitable leader. Being a great hospitable leader is a mindset more than what it has to do with the stuff that you have that in create your home. So physical space is really important if you want to have healthy and fruitful ministry in your home. And again, when I talk about home, I'm talking about where the heart is. Could be your office, could be a coffee shop, could be a private space, could be your car, you know, when you drop someone off at home. And it might literally be your home, your backyard, your back deck. Hey, let's talk about that third space, the spiritual space. The spiritual space is going to be primarily composed of those important elements: worship of God in His presence. So you think about ambient music, be intentional with your music. If you're going to be singing songs, you might think about providing song sheets, or you might consider using videos that have the lyrics already in them. YouTube is a tremendous resource for that. And so there may be some who come into your space intentionally invited by another. Remember Acts 2, the Lord was adding to their number daily. Now, when the Lord adds to your number daily, what that means is not everyone's going to know the songs you sing. Not everyone's going to know exactly where John 3 is. Not everyone's going to know that. So you need to be mindful of those in your space who may not know everything you know. And so you've got to create some ease of that information. Welcome them into that. Give page numbers. Use videos with song lyrics, etc. You're going to, in your spiritual space, talk about God's word, engage God's word. And so it's going to be talked about, it's going to be taught, and it's going to be experienced. Share testimonies. Remember that. Remember testimonies. Remembering is a great place of gratitude and anticipation and just celebrating what God has done. The power of communion, taking communion together, is very beautiful. It's a way in which we celebrate God's presence among us, so we celebrate communion. And then the practicing of spiritual gifts with biblical oversight and direction. You want to be practicing spiritual gifts. I think the home space is a wonderful place to let people begin to learn how to prophesy, to learn how to share a tongue and bring an interpretation. It's a wonderful lab, if you will, because what is embedded in the home group space is that failure is not fatal. We're all practicing and learning our faith together. And when you read Corinthians 12 and 14, primarily those two chapters about the practicing of spiritual gifts, look at that in the broader context of what was happening in the Corinthian church. Deep immorality was happening. Chaos was happening in their public services. And so there wasn't a perfection to their spiritual gifting. There was a place in which they could grow in that spiritual gifting. And so Paul talks about doing it in order. Only two or three give a word. He's talking about it being judged, particularly if you're given a prophecy or a tongue with an interpretation, which is equal to prophecy. It's a great place where you can practice the gift of faith for healing. You can practice praying for the sick and see them recover. Now, when I talk about practice, I'm not talking about don't have faith. Clearly have faith, but we're learning how to be more proficient in our partnership with the Holy Spirit. And small group ministry space in your home is a wonderful place to do that. And remember that the practicing of spiritual gifts is for the healing, the breakthrough, the encouragement of others, not to promote someone's personal reputation or personal ministry. So if someone starts praying, don't let them, you know, start handing out business cards about what's going to be happening in their, you know, their great ministry. And make sure that there's proper use of language, that it's not condemning, unhealthy judgment, and things like that. So we've talked about physical space, emotional space, and spiritual space. Let's talk about the challenges. Hey, let me list for you some challenges that you may face when you have people in your home. Number one, people just simply violating your personal space. They may be getting other kids, if you have kids in your home, may get into the space where your children have toys, even if that's off limits, that's possible. So think about how people might be violating personal space. Also, pressure to keep your house perfect is something that you're going to face as a challenge. It's possible you face that pressure. Number three, people wanting to stay after the meeting. And so the meeting is over and you're ready to put on your pajamas or get more comfortable, and people continue to linger. House is a wreck when it's over. You worked so hard to clean it before they showed up, and it's a wreck when they left. That's a real challenge. Number five, you potentially have valuables laying around, and you want to be very careful about that if you have valuables laying around as people are coming over. And then number six, the potential reality of things getting broken. So these are six challenges that you may face when you have people into your home. And so just want you've got to consider the cost of having people in your home. So what can I do when I face these challenges? Number one, consider the cost. Just consider the cost of having people in your home, that you're losing an element of privacy and that your favorite coffee mug might get broken. One of your child's toys might get broken. And so some solutions to that is only put out the coffee mugs you don't want broken. Don't use your best silverware if you don't want it to potentially get bent. Buy some inexpensive toys that may be at a local Goodwill or something like that, and those become the toys for small group, and the other toys are put away. So you have to think about considering the cost of organization and the literally maybe financial cost. Also communicate that people are welcome. Make sure that people feel loved and welcome, so greet them with a smile, a handshake, a hug. Make sure your home is ready to welcome them, your space is ready to welcome them. Communicate expectations. So not just spiritual expectations that God's going to do great things, lives are being changed, we're sharing the testimony. Communicate practical expectations. So you might have, for example, a cleanup team. You might have, for example, a hosting team. You might have, for example, a music team. And this really gets into Destiny Finder at destinyfinder.com, where you can leverage the five offices that Paul talks about in Ephesians 4 as folks that can help you carry the weight of a small group. And so you want to communicate expectations, create teams. Number five, serve at others' homes the way you want people to serve at your home. So what I'm saying there is, sow what you want to reap in your home. One of the things I love to do when we go to people's homes is help with the dishes. So washing them, helping load the dishwasher if that's uncomfortable for them. Depends on the level of friendship I have. But maybe just gathering the dishes and putting them in a common space, picking up trash if you're using paper cups, plates, plasticware, if they're not saving those kinds of things, just cleaning up, and just want to be helpful in that space. So serve at other people's homes the way you want people to serve at your home. Number six, offload the pressure of perfection. This is what thing you can do. Offload the pressure of perfection and embrace cleanliness. And number seven, just have a healthy attitude. Love deeply, serve fiercely, laugh robustly, expect greatly, and be present continually. That's a lot of lists, isn't it? I told you we were going to have a lot of lists today. And so you really want to grab the show notes from lancebain.com or look in your podcast description for those show notes. And so listen, God wants to do great things through your home, through your office, through those spaces that you have, and expect great things to happen. But be intentional about your physical space, your emotional space, and your spiritual space. Hey, I love being with you. Hope today's podcast has been helpful, and I can't wait to be with you again next week on episode number 47. You guys have an amazing week. God bless.